We now come to item three. We welcome our ecumenical representatives, in particular the following newly appointed ecumenical representatives. After naming them, I will invite them to stand together and then we will greet them both. So please remain seated until I invite you to stand. The Very Reverend Dr. Angus Morrison, representing the Church of Scotland, and the Reverend Dr. Claire Potter, representing the Methodist Church. May I invite them to stand so we can greet them both. In addition to our nine ecumenical representatives who are with us at each group of sessions, in July we always welcome some additional Anglican and ecumenical guests. Unlike the nine ecumenical representatives, they attend on one occasion only and do not have speaking rights. So I'm going to ask them to stand and invite you to greet each one of them in turn when I have introduced them. On this occasion, we welcome Mr. Andreas H. Oflot, advisor at the National Council Department of Church of Order, Church of Norway. Remain standing while I say something about you. Mr. Oflot is a political scientist and advisor of the National Council of the Church of Norway, with a particular focus on matters of church order and canon law. He's a member of the governing body of the Conference of the European Churches and also serves on the executive committee of the Church's Commission for Migrants in Europe. True? God bless you. Thank you very much. Dr. Ritchie, Secretary General representing the Church Body, Church of Ireland. Mr. Ritchie is the new Secretary General and Chief Officer of the Representative Church Body of the Church of Ireland, a Fellow of the Institute of Chartered Accountants, and an engineering graduate. He was formerly executive director of the De Large London, Ireland. He is a non-executive director of Concern Worldwide, having previously worked as an engineer for Concern in Cambodia and Rwanda, where he helped to manage the construction of refugee reception centers. We congratulate you. Thank you. Landbishop Rand Meister, Evangelisch Kirche in Deutschland, co-chair of the Meissen Commission, who will be giving the ecumenical address. Please stand and I will say something about you, sir. Bishop Ralph Meister is the London Bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Hanover, one of the largest Landkirche of the Evangelical Church in Germany. Previously, he served as the General Representative, Superintendent, or Regional Bishop in Berlin. He also has worked in the Department of Political Theology at the University of Hamburg and has been a long-standing contributor to religious broadcasting on German radio. Earlier this year, he was appointed as the new co-chair of the Meissen Commission, which is responsible of implementing the commitments between the Church of England and the Evangelical Church in Germany under the Meissen Agreement, and of course the other co-chair is the Bishop of Leeds. We greet you most warmly in the name of our Lord. So I'd now like to invite London Bishop Ralph Meister to come onto the platform to deliver a greeting to the Synod on behalf of the ecumenical guests.
Your Graces, members of the Synod of the Church of England, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it is a great honor to attend this General Synod of the Church of England, to convey to you today the cordial greetings of the Evangelical Church of Germany. I bring to you the greetings of the Council of the EKD by the Chairman of the Council, Bishop Professor Heinrich Bedford Strom, the greetings of the Plenary Church of Conference and the Presidium of the Synod, personally from the Chair of the Presidium, Mrs. Schwetzer. When I give these greetings, I do it as the Bishop of Hannover. And there is, if you know it better than me, probably a common bond between us, because King George I was King of Great Britain and Ireland from 1714 and ruler of the Duchy and Electorate of Brunswick-Lüneburg, which was the Kingdom of Hannover. Dear brothers and sisters, you come together in turbulent times. I'm aware that the decision of the Brexit is a national democratic decision, but with due respect to that, it has an enormous impact on the international, especially the European situation, and for Germany as well. Please allow me to make short remarks about the new fragile European situation and our responsibility as Christians. First, I was irritated that the main reaction in Germany about the Brexit was a discussion about the financial and economic consequences of this referendum. The European dream was and is a dream of humanity and justice, and not the question whether the stock market is placed in London or in Frankfurt, or about the future of the single market. But most important, the idea of Europe is based on shared values and peace. Recently, we remembered the Battle of Somme in 1916. And when we look for some voices which proclaim a European perspective rooted in Christian values, we find this voice in words and music from your nation. In the War Requiem from Benjamin Britten, with the poetry from Wilfred Owen. Owen fought in the war zone of Somme and died in 1918. My subject is war and the pity of war. The poetry is in the pity. All a poet can do today is warn. Owen spoke that as a Christian. What a strong sign of hope and reconciliation it was when the War Requiem was first performed in the Cathedral of Coventry in 1962. It will be the Christian charge to warn of a separated Europe in all the tendencies for a new nationalism and the modern attraction of political populists. A Europe split in gated national communities will undermine a common period of social, economic, cultural, and peaceful welfare in Europe. But the duty for the churches in Europe is not only to warn, but to give our people the hope that the liberation in God's grace will be the condition for a profound understanding of freedom, justice, and peace. And second, we in the EKD are on the way to celebrate the Jubilee of the Reformation in 2017. It will be the first Jubilee in 500 years, which we celebrate in a deep ecumenical understanding with other denominations, parallel to a fruitful interreligious dialogue with Jews and Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, Sikhs, and others. So we realize that the Reformation is, in Germany, a Weltbürger, a world citizen. It interconnects us in a strong line with Christians all over the world. The Meissen Agreement states, we will take steps to closer fellowship in as many areas as possible, so that all our members together may advance on the way to full visible unity. This is, first of all, an ecumenical sentence, first for us, for your church and mine. But this is a sentence of faith and hope. And it is also a strong political proclamation for a worldwide responsibility as Christians, a responsibility to take the challenges of the modern, complex, and anxious world as an invitation from God Himself to work for his creation. In this world, right answers are not easily found. But we have the task to witness our belief in God, to practice tolerance, and to engage even in difficult dialogues. Christianity has a history of interdenominational persecutions, discriminations, violence, and war. And we know that it took centuries to come from conflict to communion. May we owe our countries the story of a long way to the house of our neighbors. Yes, we owe our people the story of tolerance and acceptance, of respect and dialogue, of reconciliation and peace in the light of the gospel. We need a strong common narration of Europe in which our Christian experiences are still decisive. Christians are resilient and resistant people. We are strengthened in the hope from the Creator of heaven and earth. The liberating message of the gospel was in the midst of the Reformation, and we listen to that message in different contexts and exciting times like these troubling days in Europe. The Reformation was a catalyst for a new understanding of the church's role in society. In that tradition we stand, in England as well as in Germany, in the Anglican Church as well in the Evangelical Church in Germany. And so let me end with a word from the Protestant theologian and martyr Dietrich Bonhoeffer, from his letters and papers from prison. Choose and do what is right, not what fancy takes, not weighing the possibilities, but bravely grasping the real, not in the flight of ideas, but only in action there's freedom. Come away from your anxious hesitations into the storm of events, carried by God's command and your faith alone. Then freedom will embrace your spirit with rejoicing. God bless your synod.
We are grateful for your own words, Landes Bishop. Thank you very much. Thank you, Synod. That concludes this item of business.